Bubba is the product of what you get when you mix Pulaski with West Nashville,
you can't let it go, can
you? No, I can't. I'm not going to keep it real. And then Lauren is the epitome of God's grace and mercy for putting up with Philip for her life. They are awesome folks. I have asked them if they would just to come and to share how the gospel has changed their lives. And so I'm going to let Philip off the leash here. Go ahead.
Off the leash. All right. I kind of got in trouble first service. They said I didn't hang out with my wife. So I'm going to try to stay close this time. Yeah, I tend to get on the soapbox sometimes because of what God's done in my life. And, where I see where he's working in my life and where I've made transformations, or where he's made transformations in me, let's say that. It's none of my works or my deeds, it's all him. But see, here I go, I get away. I'm just moving, I'm a mover. But earlier in my life, we've been going to church for 9 years now. We've been here for a little over a year, and it's been a blessing on our lives. It's been a blessing to have pastors, leaders, even you guys who live the gospel in your life and are able to pour it out into other people's lives. And it means a lot to us. First and foremost, we thank you for that because it's affected our life tremendously. Next is, earlier in my walk, I had a hard time trying to line up with what God wanted from me or what I thought God wanted. I always wanted to be perfect. I come from a childhood, from a family that strives to be perfect in everything we do. And as my walk began, I would always try to be perfect in it, and I could never line up. I could never meet God's expectations in my mind, not in his, but in my thoughts. I thought, I'm just doomed to be a sinner and never please you, God. And I carried that throughout my life for a long time in a lot of forms and fashions until we really come here. And I really found out and was able to dig into what the gospel is. And the gospel's not me pursuing God. It's not me chasing him. It's him chasing me. It's him chasing us. And to be able to know that no matter how bad I stumble, no matter how bad I fail, he's always going to be there to pick me up and dust me off and tell me he loves me. Now, I could stand up here and go on for days of how the gospel is really affected and where it's changed all the aspects of my life, but that's just one that has really been a blessing to me. And to know that when God sees me, he don't see a sinner. He sees Jesus. And by that, I'm set free from the things that I've been through, the things that I've done. I'm able to be freed from those to have that relationship with God. And that's how the gospel's changed me.
It's much better than the last time. I'm kidding.
No. Yeah, the first service, he turned around. I thought he was going to like drop the mic and walk off and leave me and her standing.
Yeah.
Here,
so. I don't like a microphone. I'm loud enough already. So.
We know.
Yeah. Say that again? Okay.
Have it back.
Yes.
No, I'll play.
Because I think I'm more nervous the second time than I was the first time because I've already overanalyzed everything that I said the first time.
You should
hoping
be.
That I conveyed we're, everything.
We're judging you right
I think
now.
Everybody is judging me.
Yeah,
and that's,
we are.
That is,
you're feeling that.
Yeah. That, you know my fears. It's like you're looking right through me. How the gospel has changed me... it's summarizing one word, it's freedom, but I cannot make light of that because who I was before really learning what the gospel wasn't, and truly accepting that I was very, I was a whipped puppy, as Chris likes to call me. I was very downcast. I was very depressed. I was very much under the burden of legalism, which is having Jesus and then adding all of this other stuff that you have to do to be accepted. So since really, truly grasping what the gospel is and who Jesus is, I have been freed from that to know that it's not about what I do. It's about what he's done. And it's, you know, it's not my story. It's his story. And thank God for that because I fail a lot. And he doesn't. So that has been the biggest thing. And the other thing is being accepted. And I didn't say this the first service, but In our previous experience, I never really felt accepted with my peers. I didn't feel like I measured up to, you know, what a Christian should look like, or, you know, my personality, you know, everybody loves Philip, and what's not to love. But, you know, I'm sorry, I had to go there. But, you know, everybody loves Philip, and I think that's about it. There you go. I'm accepted. That's the thing. I'm accepted. It's not because I have to be this.
You don't have to live up to everybody else's expectations.
Right.
You've already met God's because of Jesus. And
exactly. Thank you. Yeah. I knew I needed a translator. So thank you.
No, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I wanted them to share today because I think it's just good for us to celebrate, you know, getting to share the stories of what God has done in our lives and you know, how we can respond to the gospel through sharing our stories. And truth is that there's a bunch of you here today that have a story of how Jesus has changed you. And I want to encourage you to think about telling that story. And maybe you're right in the middle of a moment in life where you're going, man, I can't even imagine. Like, I'm not even sure where I am with the Lord right now. I just want to encourage you, even in the scripture that we're reading today, to be encouraged that there's going to be times that are hard. But times are not always easy for you guys. You guys struggle through. Philip, you work construction, and you're amazing at it, but you hate it at the same time. And
it's hard being around a bunch of ungodly men.
Yeah. And Philip really yearns to, you know, allow God to use him in ministry somewhere. And so we're praying, you know, praying over them about that and whatnot. And then, again, Lauren just has to deal with Philip. So
she's got the toughest job.
Yeah. But we appreciate you guys sharing your story. Thank you guys so much.
You.
We love y'all. I want to share with you just something, then we're going to pray. This past week, every once in a while, you get these little tidbits of information of things that are going on outside of realm of anything you have anything to do with, it feels like. And I feel like we got one of those this week, and it's not the first time that we've gotten things like this, but I got word this week from one of the guys in our church that his sister's husband, they don't go to 24, never been to 24 as far as I know, but his sister's husband is deployed in Afghanistan right now. And his sister started listening to the podcast here at church, and then she got him to start listening to the podcast. And now there's a whole unit that gathers in Afghanistan on Sunday mornings, and they have church by listening to our podcast. I don't know if they're listening in right now. And when this ever goes to the internet and whatnot, but I want to just take a second and pray for them and ask God to do amazing things within what he's doing there. What a great opportunity for us just to get to minister with and to folks halfway around the world. And there's been so many others, and there's probably others that will listen to this. We've had other friends, a pastor by the name of Christopher, another lay person that is serving in ministry, I know, in India named Charles, and so many others. I'm sure there's others that have contacted us to let us know that we mean a lot to them, and we don't even know them. And so I want to take a second. I want us just to pray. I want us to pray for this unit, for Drew and his unit, and let's just take a second. Let's do that right now. What a humbling thing. God, thank you for letting us get to minister to folks that we don't even know. Thank you for letting us just get to be a part of that. God, that's you. That's not us. And God, we recognize that, and we lift you up in this. And just saying, God, we ask that you would work in the lives of those people that are listening in that are not here. God, Lord, with this unit in Afghanistan and other folks in the military that may be listening to this that are deployed somewhere else, God, I pray that you would have your hand on Drew and those folks that are with him, and God, that you would do an amazing work, and that, God, that even there, God, that they would respond to the gospel and change them to make them more like you. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity we have just to even pray that prayer, and God, how humbling it is for us. May we be faithful with the gospel, with the truth of Jesus Christ. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen. That's pretty cool, huh? I want to take a second. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and pull it out. We're going to Luke chapter 8. I'm not teaching a full message this morning because we've got other things that we're still doing as a part of as a response to the gospel this morning. This morning we're gonna look at this passage of scripture in Luke 8, celebrate what God is showing us together in this passage of scripture. This passage is one of those passages that honestly, it's a little bit hard for us to read it. And I'm just going to kind of forewarn you with that and just say, you're going to find yourself in this passage. Jesus is teaching a parable, and then he kind of goes into some stuff, and you're going to find yourselves probably specifically somewhere in what he's talking about, and you'll see what I mean here in just a second. Luke chapter 8, verse 4, it says this. It says, "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, I'm going to stop right there. We're going to go on here in just a minute. But, you know, we have this parable, Jesus telling, you know, this illustration, this story, if you will, of the sower. And he is talking about the seeds that are falling on these different things and how some are growing and some are not. And, you know, some are, you know, starting to grow, but then they get choked out by other things and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I think it's one of those passages where if Jesus had left it at this, we'd probably spend the rest of our days going, "Oh, well, this means that, and this means that," and we would probably bicker back and forth and, you know, go, "Man, I don't even really know at the end of the day really for sure what Jesus is saying here." But the beautiful part of this is that the disciples come to him right here, and they're like, "Hey, Jesus, can we get some clarity on this thing?" And Jesus is like, "Absolutely." So in verse 9, here we go. And in verse 9, it says this. It says, "And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this.'" And here Jesus goes and he begins to explain the parable. "The seed is the word of God." I think that we can get that. "The seed is the word of God. And then in verse 12, it says this, 'The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved.'" Now, you remember just a minute ago, I said, you're going to find yourself in this passage of scripture. We're about to see Jesus explain each of these seeds that have been dropped on each of the four different things. The second one is in verse 13. And in verse 13, it says, "And the ones on the rock are those who when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away." Verse 14, the third one. "And as for what fell among the thorns, there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. The last one. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." Okay. So Jesus is talking about these different types of soils. He's talking about the seed, and the seed being the word of God, and how the word of God, as it falls on us, as we receive it, many of us respond in different ways. You say, why are we even looking at this passage? Thought we were talking about gospel response, and today we're responding in so many different ways, and we're responding through, you know, taking communion together and baptism and all these, you know, singing and all these awesome things. And absolutely, those are all responses. But this morning, I got to tell you, I think that it's important for us to remember that one of the biggest responses that we have often comes from the Word of God. One of the biggest responses. I mean, we're so good at like wanting like quick fixes at stuff that many times we won't take the time, even though sometimes it is so short even. Such minimal amounts of time in God's Word can make such a huge difference in our lives if we seek Him with an honest and good heart. And so for this morning, for us to see these four different responses, we have four different responses to the Word of God that Jesus is clearly talking about. And the first one being in verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. I want to stop right there and look at that one. You know, this is to us, I think, what many of us know folks like this. We know folks that are completely hard-hearted to even thinking about the truth that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. They do not believe, they are not saved. You know, and it's, you know, and a lot of this, again, is you see in this passage of scripture, we can't ignore, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Now, this is for folks that do not know the Lord, okay? Because I don't want you guys going out here today going, well, you know, I hope you know Satan doesn't, you know, come and take away my knowledge of knowing Jesus and what He's done in my life. He can't do that. Okay, he's Satan. He's not God. He doesn't know everything. Don't give him credit when he's not do it. Okay, he's not that powerful. He's just good at tempting. Okay, and so, you know, for us to look at this, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. What it's talking about here is that for an unsaved person that is hearing the word, you know, you think about thing. I think back to when, you know, when I came to know Christ, there was a part of me that, you know, people already thought that I knew the Lord, and people already thought, you know, well, he's a Christian and all this stuff and all, you know, and it's so part of me in my mind, I'm going, well, I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. I'm just going to keep going with what, you know, the path I'm on, and it's just going to be fine, you know. And the truth was, I knew in my heart that God was doing a work in me that I needed to pay attention to and I needed to respond to. And the response that needed to happen from that was me believing and being saved. You see that last part? So that they may not believe and be saved. That's Satan's goal. You know, so if like you're sitting in here today and you're thinking, well, you know, I don't really know what to think about the church or about Jesus or any of this stuff. You know, Satan's working overtime to help you with that, okay? I'm just letting you know. You know, if you've got like a battle going on within you right now, that's real. That's called spiritual warfare. God is speaking to your heart, and Satan at the same time is wanting you to doubt and keep you from believing in what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ, the complete work on the cross, his resurrection, so that you will not be saved. Do you get that? I mean, this is huge. This is like life-changing huge, okay? So Jesus is saying, this is one of the soils. This is a soil that often, you know, is seen as, you know, folks that don't know the Lord. He goes on to the second one, and the second one, he says this in verse 13, it says, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. I mean, that doesn't sound bad, right? It sounds pretty good. Maybe you need to be part of this one. And you know, but where does it go? The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. Okay? No root. These have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. All right, Christians, you know Jesus. You say you love him. You say you're sold out. Man, I can't love Jesus enough. What he's done for me, I'm so happy. And you've seen these people. They get real excited, and like, you know, they're like a fireball for Jesus. Like 1 second, and then what happens? Testing. That passage does not say, and sometimes there will be testing. It says, and in time of testing, these people fall away. They fall away. You see, our trust and our faith in Jesus is not good enough just to be for some kind of fire insurance, okay? Our trust and our faith in Jesus should come as a response to what Jesus has done in us, what he did on the cross so that he could complete a work in us that our lives might be changed. These type of folks are not folks that are changed. These types of folks are just like, man, they're just like out for like, oh man, yes, this is good. You know, it's good. It's good to be a part of a church where God's at work. And oh yeah, you know, and then like, you know, what happens? Time of testing comes. Hard times come. I know so many people right now in like the craziest moments of testing in their lives. And I feel like I'm sitting on like the front row of the bleachers, and I'm just like trying. I'm trying to be there. I'm trying to pray for them. I'm trying to be a good friend. I'm trying to be a good pastor. And in the midst of that, I'm watching them to see whether or not they have root. What's our root in? Our root needs to be in the truth of the gospel. Our response to the gospel, if our root is in it, is that in times of testing, we won't fall away. The third thing, verse 14, it says, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. I feel guilty all over the place, I think, for all, you know, for most of these. But this one seems to be that thing that I think that so many of us probably deal with. And I know that I deal with it. And as I look at that, as I read that, and you know, that those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And their fruit does not mature. Let me ask you a question. Is your faith in Jesus, is it fluctuating based upon what's happening around you? Is your relationship with God fluctuating based on what happens in life, whether or not things are going good, whether things are bad? Is your walk with the Lord easily choked out by cares or riches or pleasures of life? It's not saying that cares, riches, or pleasures of life are bad things. And I think that that's important for us. We're called to be people that enjoy this life that we've been given, but we're first and foremost to enjoy it in Christ. And when we do, we're not like these folks right here. Our fruit will mature. Our fruit will mature. Here's the hard thing about this, and I'm going to give you a piece that's going to make you think twice even about wanting to follow Jesus, okay? So you ready for this? This is the kind of stuff that pastors don't talk about because, you know, it doesn't help people walk their aisles or something. But I want to give you the full truth, and here's the full truth, and that's this. If you're bearing fruit for the kingdom of God, if you're pursuing Jesus and allowing him to change who you are going to be attacked. Satan doesn't bother to attack something that's not bearing fruit. He doesn't have to fool with it. It's already doing what he wants it to do. Now again, not giving him more power than he deserves because he doesn't have it. But I think for us to understand that in those times of testing, our root has to be in the truth of what Jesus has done in us, what he's done for us. That changes everything, and our response to that is that even in our suffering, we glorify God. Even in our suffering, we're able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Fourth thing. Verse 15 says, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, and I love this, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Good soil. Good soil. We need good soil. Let me just ask you this. What are you rooted in right now in your life? what's your life about? What do you spend all of your time rooting yourself in? Is it cares, pleasures of life? Is it fear for the testing that you're going through, that someone's not going to love you tomorrow? Or, you know, is it that you're gonna maybe not have a job? Or, you know, what is it? Because the truth is that if we root ourselves in good soil, when those things happen, we are so much more prone to automatically, and love this wording, that in hearing the word, hold it fast. You hear that? Hold it fast. I love fast. I love it. I am addicted to it. I love fast cars. I love fast. Never mind. I'm gonna say it. No, and I think for us to just get a glimpse of what it looks like in our life to be people who've really been changed by Jesus, for us to be those people shows us to be a people that when something happens, we don't flinch. We hold fast to the truth of the gospel and do so not for show, not to put on something for somebody else, but we do so because we have an honest and a good heart. And it's because we love God and because we love him and we see what he has done for us. We see his grace and we see his mercy. He's changed us. And we can't help but love him. And so when that stuff goes down in life, we don't question. We go straight to Jesus because that's where our roots are. Our roots are in good soil. They're in him. They're in what he has done and what he's doing in us. And as a result, we bear fruit. Can you believe this? With patience. And that's a word that so many of us hate, and we shouldn't hate on it. Don't hate on patience, okay? It's a good song by Guns N' Roses, for starters. But secondly, it's what we're called to. We're called to live in patience. And the truth is there are certain things that are supposed to be fast in our lives, and that's holding to the Word of God. That's clinging to the cross. But there's a lot of things that include testing and pain and suffering and other things that we'll deal with that we are called to deal with patience. And that even in our bearing fruit, if God's called you to something, he called you to serve in something, and you're frustrated about that right now, and it's not working out like you want it to because it's not happening as fast as you think it should or whatever, guess what? Bear that fruit with patience. Quit trying to speed it up. Let's don't be people who have hard hearts. Let's don't be Christians who are all bark and no bite. Let's don't serve two masters. Let's let our response to the gospel be that he has changed who we really are. That's what this life is about. It is about us glorifying God in everything that we do. That's the meaning of life. He created us for his glory, that others may see him in us. But if we make our lives about everything else, then we have completely missed the meaning of life. And then what's the point? We stay slaves to our old selves. We stay slaves to sin. Jesus offers a get out of jail free card every once in a while. And for those that know him, we get that for the rest of our lives. I want us to transition for a second. We're going to take a minute and we're going to take communion together. I want to say this. you may be here today. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I just want you to know that he died on a cross to take the place of your sin, the death that we deserve. And I don't know if you fully understand what that means, but basically God saw our sin, and he's a just God. And there was going to be, either way, there was going to be a punishment for sin. He gave his son for us to murder him, that he would be that punishment, that he would take our place, even while we were still sinners, and even knowing that while he was dying on the cross, that even not only while we were still sinners, but that yet we would still sin against him even after we would know him. Christ died and took our place. That's mercy. That's grace. We have hope in that. We can believe in that. We can believe and be saved. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you need to believe and be saved. I just want you to know that at the end of the service, we'll have some folks here that would like to talk with you. If you want to come find us during the service, I'm going to be right over here on the front row. If you want to talk about knowing Jesus before the end, you come on. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you're a Christian, but you've never told the world that you're a Christian. Maybe you've never followed through with being baptized to show the world. And this is something that Jesus has said. You guys should do this. Be baptized. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Tell everyone that you know me. Maybe this morning you should be baptized. That's right. Maybe today in this service, before you leave today, without an extra change of clothes, you should be baptized. You think it sounds crazy? We had a guy that came to Christ Friday night back here in this little room. And in the first service today, he came down and he said, I need to tell the world that I know Jesus today. I want to be baptized. And we baptized him. This morning, maybe you need to do that. If you do, come find us down here during the service, before the end of the service, and we'll make that happen. We just want to talk to you about that. I'll be right here on this front row. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're a believer, but maybe you're one of these folks that you're seeing. Maybe you're not in the good soil right now. Maybe God is challenging you to move forward and pursue him. Do that. Don't be afraid of that. Quit hanging your hat on cares and pleasures of life. Quit hanging your hat on worry of being in testing. We're going to be in testing. It's not a matter of whether or not we're going to be in testing. It's a matter of how are we going to deal with it. And Christians, people should see Jesus in us in that. We don't do it just for that reason. We do it because we love him. And we find our freedom and our solace in him. We're not going to find hope and peace in anything else. We need him to get us through those things. Put your hope and your faith and your trust. Put your money where your mouth is. And not just say you believe in Jesus, but believe in Jesus. We're going to take communion. And you may be here this morning. You may want to serve somebody else that's here. I want to encourage you to do that. We would love for you to do that. Maybe serve your family, husbands, dads, serve your family. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that you just feel like God's impressing on your heart that you need to go and serve them. Maybe they've served you well, or maybe something's going on between you guys, and you just need to go to them and say, you know what, I just need to serve you today, and just I want you to know that I love you like Jesus has loved me. Before we take communion, you don't have to be a member here to take it, but you have to know Jesus as your Savior. You have to have believed in him and been saved. And if that's you today, this is an opportunity for us to celebrate and remember and respond to what he has done through his suffering and his death on the cross. We remember his blood. We remember his broken and beaten body. through getting to do this. And so this is a time of response. This is a time of reflection. And so I just encourage you this morning to respond to what Jesus has done. You may need to just sit for a few minutes and just examine your heart as Scripture says before we do these things. And just, you know, just really seek, where am I? Am I right with the Lord right now? Maybe I need to go to a brother and sister and apologize and make amends in some way, shape, or form. Be right with the Lord and respond to the work of the cross in doing this together. Our response overall should be good soil equals us being changed. May we root ourselves in Jesus. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for allowing us to respond to you today. Such an amazing way, such an amazing reminder of the work that you've done on the cross. And we love you and we thank you for that. God, we're forever indebted to you for it. God, I pray this morning, Lord, for the person that doesn't know you, God, just speak to their hearts that they may run down here to come and talk to somebody to find out what it means to know you, to believe in you, to put their faith in you. God, change their lives. Don't let anything get in the way of that. God, for those that are being tested right now, God, I pray that you would give them the strength and that they would see that you had the strength and that through you we are given the strength, the power of God to get through, to make it to the other side, to give you glory. God, may we sing your praises in the middle of our testing and our suffering. God, you are good to us. God, we love you. May we tell the world that we know you.
Speaks of your love. Cleanses us from sin. Clothed in righteousness, the glory is yours, Jesus. Yours alone. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hear that today. Not good that I have done. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. washed in your blood. Lay down our lives for you. The foot of the cross reminds you, Jesus. Great and mighty you are. Oh, this is all our hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all our righteousness. It's nothing but the blood.